Thanks for joining us for another great message from Influences Church Australia. We hope it inspires you, encourages you, blesses you, and brings you joy. For more information about our church, go online to influences.church. And now for our message.
Psalm 100, verse 4 and 5, this is what it says. Help me out by reading the yellow. Enter into his gates with and into his courts with praise. Be to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Philippians 4 verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. One more verse, 1 Thessalonians 5. We can read all this together in harmony, all right? In the kind of influences unity that you can muster. Ready? 3, 2, 1. In one more time, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. There's so many people wondering at the start of every year or in any many seasons, what's your will, God? I want to know your will. Anyone want to know the will of God? Everyone wants to know the will of God. God, I want to do your will. I don't want to miss your will. I want to just be in your will. And God gives us the answer right here. Here's the will of God for you. He even said for you. In everything, give thanks. Yeah, but what's the will of God for me? In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God. Yeah, but I've got some just decisions to make. I need to know the will of God. Should I be an accountant or an engineer? I need to know what God's will is. In everything, give thanks. So if you're going to be an accountant, give thanks. If you're going to be an engineer, give thanks. Yeah, but which one do I do? Which is the will of God? Pick one. And in everything, give thanks. But do I buy a house or rent a house in this market? God, what's your will? Decide. Pick one. And then whether you're buying, give thanks. If you're renting, give thanks. Yeah, look, this is not very helpful. I want to know God's voice. Who do I marry, this guy or that guy? Pick one and give thanks. In everything, give thanks. He didn't say for everything. You're not meant to thank him for everything, because if you don't thank him for sickness, you know, because he didn't do that. You don't thank him for poverty. You don't thank him for hardship. You don't thank him for, but in the middle of it, give thanks. That is the will of God for you. Well, do I go to uni or do I get a job? Decide and then give thanks. Which dream team should I serve in? I'm so skilled and I have so many talents, I don't know which one. Decide and give thanks. Well, which campus? Do I go to Paradise or should I go to City? Decide and then give thanks. The will of God for you is in everything. So what are you saying? Well, God's will for me and for you is to be a thankful person, because when we are thankful in everything, it changes who we are. It might not change where we are, but it'll change who we are. I grew up thinking giving thanks was about manners. My parents taught me, when you get something, say thank you. Yeah, so I thought thank you was just about being a nice person, giving manners. And little did I know that thankfulness is a weapon. God designed thankfulness not just for the benefit of those who I thank, but for me. It's a bit like forgiveness. We think forgiveness is about the person we're letting go of, and yet it's really for your benefit that you forgive. It's like honor. We think it's for the benefit of the people we honor, but it's really for our benefit. We inherit. Thankfulness is the same thing. It's not just about manners. You think thankfulness is about manners? You have underutilized this weapon, and it's right through the scripture. And the fact that God allowed your pastor to sing a song beautifully in the service shows you how much he has it on your heart to get this message through. You know, secular research will tell you there's multiple benefits to being thankful or grateful. This is secular research. Better physical health. So don't even worry about the gym. Just be thankful. Better sleep. You're suffering with amnesia or whatever, better sleep, better mental health. We all could do with that. Enhances empathy. It reduces aggression. Healthier self-esteem. Improves psychological health. All of these things, secular research has said thankfulness actually changes. No pill, no prescription, no whatever, and yet just being grateful and thankful as a disposition, who you are and everything, giving thanks, not only is the will of God, it actually enhances your life in multiple ways. I mean, how incredible would our families be, our church be, our city be, our congregations be? How amazing would our life, how much better would we be if we were all thankful by nature? If Thanksgiving wasn't an American date on a calendar, but the culture in how we lived our life. Imagine if Thanksgiving was just who we are. What a shift it would bring to our world. And do you realize that if ever there was a year that thankfulness became prominent, it was 2020. 2020 showed us that even though it was not the year to get everything you wanted, how many realize the pandemic was not the season to get everything you wanted, but it was the year that made you appreciate everything you had? And thankfulness became more than just, Lord, I'm grateful I live in a good space or a good state. It helped us realize what was really important. You know, I grew up in an Asian home where if you got 95% for the exam, the parents want to know where the other 5% went. So Mama grew up in a home where 51% meant she got a car or some present for passing. That makes raising our boys a tension. Because when my son comes in with a B, Jemima thinks B stands for brilliant. I think it stands for bad. And yet, I'm like, what are you celebrating average for? And she's like, I can't believe you're not grateful for what he's got. I'm like, I'm his father. That's not enough. And you know, it's complicated. But it gives you an idea of how one sees what's missing and one sees what's given. You know, if you say by default, Asian or not, you want to become a more thankful person by nature, which really all of us should want that, there's a simple exercise that would actually help you. If you looked at any negative situation and you just said, I want to find the silver lining and give God thanks for that, even though in that generally it's not good, but I can find the good in everything. If you train your eye, your mind, your heart to see the good in every situation, even though every situation isn't good, you will actually by nature, just try the exercise. You know, Perth is the most isolated city in the world. It's not good. But I'm grateful. I'm not thankful for the isolation, but Lord, because it's isolated, even the virus didn't travel that far. God, I thank you. I thank you. You know, I'm not thankful for COVID ever, but I'm thankful that in the middle of it, I got to know my family. You know, I'm thankful in every situation. You find a negative situation. Say you have a teenager that's just wasting their life away on your couch, and all they do is watch Netflix, and they literally don't get up, don't help you with anything, and you're like, that's a problem. But in the middle of the problem, where's the silver lining, Lord? Well, they're not wasting time on the streets. So, oh God, I'm thankful for that. Find the little bit you can give God thanks for. Lord, for the mess that I have to clean up in my house every Sunday night, Lord, I'm thankful that I have friends. Although not helpful, I have friends, God, thank you. Lord, this tax bill is too big, but Lord, I'm thankful I earned income. God, the clothes are starting to fit a little too tight, Lord. It's a bit snug, God. Well, I thank you, I must have had something to eat. In everything. The person that's sitting next to you that can't sing in tune, and I'm not talking about you at all. You're like, oh, why do I always sit in the seat where, oh, God, I thank you that my hearing works. I'm single, God. I just wish I could be married. Lord, I'm thankful for the money I still have. We've been married for so long, we just want kids. Lord, I'm thankful for the sleep I still have. Oh God, I've got so many kids. When will they grow up? Everyone says blink and it'll go away. They're still here, God. Honestly, how long more is this going to go? God, I'm thankful for the legacy that you are crafting. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. That's why when you go to a funeral, when it's a Christian and it's a believer and there's hope, it's often called a thanksgiving service. Why? We're sad that it's over, but we're glad that it happened. It's just a different way of looking at life. And it's not just so you'd be a nice, well-mannered person. Thanksgiving is so powerful. In fact, if you're a visual person, this may help you. I like to envision things. Thankfulness is far more than manners. I liken it to, number one, an alarm clock. I don't know if you like your alarm clock or hate your alarm clock. This is the first time I'm out of the Perth time zone in 346 days, but who's counting? And I genuinely needed to set my alarm to get here for 9 a.m. to get up in time, because otherwise I would have slept through. And you love your alarm, but you hate your alarm. Anyone know what I'm talking about? You sort of love it, but you hate it. You're glad it works, but you hate the fact that it wakes you up. But that's what an alarm clock is supposed to do. And the alarm clock of Thanksgiving is like an alarm, because it wakes up your praise and it wakes up your faith. Thanksgiving wakes up. So if your praise is fast asleep, nothing wakes it up like Thanksgiving. If your faith is asleep, nothing wakes it up like Thanksgiving. We read it earlier, Psalm 100, Jana read it earlier, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Do you know the gates are on the outer? You come through the gates with thanksgiving, and then you get into the courts with praise. So when you come to church and you got, you know, Aaron standing going, come on, let's praise God. You're like, you praise God. I'm tired and old. The reason it's hard is the reason our praise is asleep. The Bible doesn't say just jump into the courts with praise. You got to go through the gates of thanksgiving first. It's a crazy idea, but maybe we should, I'm not suggesting this because... But what if you weren't allowed into the auditorium until you first gave thanks? Because you're not supposed to come to the courts of praise until you first walk through the gates of thanksgiving. And if you walk through the gates of thanksgiving first, and what? I can't go in. Yeah, you have to give thanks first. Well, thank you, Lord, I'm alive. Thank you, Lord, she's not dead. Thank you, Lord. God, I thank you saved me. I go, thank you. I've still got the health to come to church. Thank you, God. Oh, well, thank you. You're good. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross. You know, when you start to give God thanks, it's like an alarm. It wakes up, ding, 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 ding. It wakes up your praise. You come in, and then when Phil goes, come on, let's praise. You're like, yeah, I'm ready to praise. Your praise is awake because thanksgiving woke it up. And it sounds draconian to say, not allowed into the auditorium until you give thanks first. But hang on, we're living in 2021. Oh, you have to. It's like I literally walked to Adelaide Airport. They said, you have to come this way. Where have you been the last 14 days? Have you spoken to a Victorian? Blah, 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 blah. We can do that. We're used to long lines and random questions. Have you given God thanks in the last? No. Well, I don't know. Have you spoken to a demon or a victor? No. Okay. Okay, God, I thank you. And you know what? It wakes you up. It doesn't just awaken your praise. It awakens your faith. If your faith feels dormant, if your faith feels asleep, listen to what Philippians 4:6, we read the same verse. It says, in everything, by prayer and supplication. In other words, you need a healing. You need a miracle. You need financial provision. You need God to give you direction. It says, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known. What does that mean? Is that God sitting up there going, listen, I want to keep the atmosphere positive around heaven. The prayer request section is overloaded, especially in 2020. So with every request, I need one thanks. Like I'm trying to balance the ledger. That's not why that verse is in there. The reason we're meant to bring thanksgiving with our request is not for his benefit, it's for our benefit. Because when we come to God with a request, we're reminding ourselves when we give God thanks that he's the one who answers prayer in the first place. When I come to God and I say, God, I need a healing for my sister or for my brother. But thank you, God, that you healed Jane. Thank you, Lord, that you healed Bill. Thank you, Lord, that you touched Bob when he needed it. God, you're a good God. And all of a sudden, in my thanks, I'm reminding myself who I'm talking to. He's the God who heals. He's the God who provides. He's the God who answers. And so when I flavor my prayer with thanksgiving, I awaken my faith. And we know praise brings breakthrough. We know faith moves mountains. And if I were to give you a key to both, if I said, who wants more praise and more faith? Who wants more breakthrough and who wants, we'd be like, yeah, yeah. And thanksgiving is the key to both. Thanksgiving is the alarm clock that wakes up your praise, wakes up your faith, and without an altar call or a hand on your head, just by saying, God, I want to be thankful, you will awaken far more than manners. You awaken your faith and you awaken your praise, and all that we've heard for decades around these topics comes alive just through the simple key of thankfulness. Yes. Thankfulness is not only an alarm, it's a compass. Those of you under 40, a compass is a thing that shows you the directions before Waze or Google Maps was made. A compass points you to true north. You might feel lost, disoriented, confused, and when you got a compass, it points you. True north is who he is. It's a bit like this. This is what I love about Thanksgiving. You could be depressed, distracted, offended, clouded, and yet Thanksgiving in the cell. Paul wrote that verse in prison. He said, in everything. So here's the question. If in everything we're giving God thanks, but what we're in is a prison, or what we're in is depression, or what we're in is confusion or lack, what exactly are we thanking him for? If in, okay, unconditionally I'll give him thanks, but what am I thanking him for if I've got nothing to thank him for in terms of where I'm at? I thank him for who he is. And who he is transcends where I'm at. It transcends what I'm going through. It transcends my feelings. It transcends my situation, my scene, or my season. Who he is everlasting. It never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So no matter how disoriented I am, I can point to true north and I can say, God, you are the same. You're the healer. You're the provider. And that is the power of thanksgiving. As we heard earlier, you might need the healing. You can't thank him for the healing because you feel you don't have it. But I can thank him, he's the healer. I might need provision, and I can't really say I've got the miracle, but I can thank him, he's the miracle worker. He's the way maker. He's the promise keeper. I can thank him for who he is. And it tethers me to something higher, stronger, greater, better than where I'm at now. And it becomes like a compass that gets me, guides me back on track. One of the signs of maturity is you learn to give God thanks for who he is, not just what he's done. That's a sign of maturity. I've got two boys, Zeke and Caleb, 12 and 8. They, as they're getting older, I'm trying to teach them. So what happens is when they're young, they only are thankful to me when I give them something. Thank you, Dad, because, oh, you're the best, but that's because I gave them something. But now Father's Day, my birthday, I get cards and it says, Dad, I love you, you're the best, you're so generous, you're so kind. And yet they wrote the card and I didn't give them something. In fact, it's my birthday, I'm expecting something. It's Father's Day. But what maturity does is it recognizes character even when you're not the beneficiary in that moment. The sign that they're maturing is they see my generosity in another setting, and even though they are not the beneficiary of the generosity in that moment, maturity goes, wow, that's who my dad is. That's amazing. Maturity as a Christian is not just when I get my miracle, I thank him for who he is. I can thank him for who he is because I've seen it in their life, in that church, in that situation. That is who you are. And so maturity says, even if I'm not the recipient in the moment, I can start to give God thanks, because in everything, give thanks means I'm thanking him for who he is. The scripture goes on to say, if you read it, it says in Psalm 100, enter into his gates, etc. It says, for the Lord is good. Didn't say things feel good. Didn't say things look good. The Lord is good. I'm giving him thanks for who he is. Not how I feel, not what's going on. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And that is something that we can all reorient ourselves with, because no matter what you're going through, like Job, I can point to God and say, you are true north. And it has this, thankfulness literally gets you back on track. It's not just manners, it'll help you find the path again. It'll help you get on track again. Yes, it awakens your praise and faith, but it reorients you back on track. Here's another thing that helps me understand thankfulness. It's like an anchor, an anchor. Every second sermon last year was about a storm, or a song was about a storm. And yet an anchor is designed to stop a boat from drifting with temporary currents. And if the feeling is this way or that way, the anchor holds your ground. Do you know, the thing about anchors, it's only as effective as its weight. In other words, if you have a toy anchor, it's not really going to hold you in much. But if you have a really weighted anchor, the heavier the anchor, the stronger the storm it can sustain you through. Make your Thanksgiving weighted. Give your Thanksgiving weight. Don't do the thanks at 2, 4, 6, 8, Boggin, don't wait. Thank you, Lord, I'm grateful. Thank you for, you know, there's something about giving your thankfulness weight that actually gives you a stronger anchor in your storm. Here is an old hymn. I can take your hymn and go back further. And somebody here is going to get really excited. There's an old hymn called Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One. One by one? Not, God, thank you, you're so good to me. Well, name them one by one. Lord, thank you for all my friends. Name them one by one. But that just makes my prayer time really long. No, no, no. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. The last line says, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. It shouldn't surprise us. Why does it surprise us? Because we are light in our thanks. But when you list one by one everything the Lord has done, I have an anchor that holds me. We read in Philippians 4 that when we supplement our requests with thanksgiving, the Bible says, you read it earlier, the peace of God. Peace in a storm does not belong to those who just think positive thoughts. It belongs to those who can give thanks in the middle of any storm with every request that transcends logic. It's higher. God, help me to have the kind of thanksgiving that is so weighted that in every storm I can hold my course because I am aware that I'm anchored to something deeper than my circumstance. Don't drown in self-pity, negativity, fear, frustration. Put an anchor down that will hold you in every season. And finally, thanksgiving is not just an alarm clock, a compass, or an anchor, it's a key. You know, you might be thinking, what's wrong with the people around here? Is everyone either sleeping, lost, drowning? I'm not sleeping, lost, or drowning. Thanksgiving isn't just a rescue weapon. You might go, I feel fine, I don't know what everyone else's problem is. It's a key, and the thing about a key is it unlocks the access to more. Thanksgiving is a key that shows you things ahead that, you know, again, this might sound real revolutionary for you because I was told Thanksgiving is about manners. When you say thank you, you're just being kind. Oh, it's far more than just kindness. It not only wakes you up, it not only reorients you, it not only holds you in a storm, it gives you access to more. In the kingdom of God, when you want more, it's stewardship is the key. Faithful with a little, more is entrusted. You do with what you've got, God says, I add more. The parable of the talents, there's so many stories about it. And yet a huge part of stewardship is gratitude. A huge part of, am I stewarding this well, is am I thankful for what I've got? Jesus gave thanks for 5 loaves and 2 fish. In context of the need, it was nothing. But you give thanks for what you have, even if it feels like nothing, and God will multiply it over and over and over and over again. Thank God. Say, God, I know it's not the best job, but I thank you for the job I have, not the job I don't. Thank you for the spouse I have, not the spouse I don't. Thank you for the kids I have, not the kids I don't. Thank you for where, and you start to give God thanks. It's actually good stewardship of what you have, and it's a key that God says, you're thankful for in that, for that, my God, I can trust you with more. If that child is grateful in that circumstance, imagine what they're gonna be like in that circumstance. And thankfulness multiplies what God can trust you with because it's a key that opens the door to more. Think about it naturally. As a parent, If a child is thankful, you're glad, you want to give them more. But if you got someone who takes but never grateful, God is not petty like us sometimes. But do you realize that as a parent, you understand thankfulness warrants more, multiple. Oh, there's more, there's more, there's more, there's more. 10 lepers in the book of Luke chapter 11 come to Jesus wanting to be healed. And he says, go show yourself to the priest. And on their way, they were all healed. Amazing. And when they realized they were healed, they're naturally happy and they carry on with their life. But one, a Samaritan, a foreigner, turns around, comes back, pays the price, inconveniences his time, gets out of his schedule, and walks all the way back to Jesus and says, thank you. That's all he says, thank you. He didn't come back for more. He just said, thank you. And Jesus says, we're not 10 healed. Where are the other 9? And he didn't withdraw their healing because they didn't give thanks. But he said to the one who gave thanks, go and be made whole. Now, you might not understand this about leprosy, but leprosy is this horrible disease where things drop off. I went to a leper colony years ago and naively had no idea about the nature of why it's contagious. It's a colony. That's why. And so I go in there as a naive 20-year-old, and I was there on a mission trip, and I shared, and then I went around and hugged all the lepers. And the leader of the leper colony comes and says to me, young man, you know, the dinner after, you know, the lepers were really touched by what you said, but they were really moved by the fact you hugged them. Nobody hugs them. And the leader of my mission team looks at me and goes, you're not supposed to hug the lepers. That's why it's a colony. It's contagious. What are you doing? I'm thinking, I wish I could tell you I did it knowing what I was doing. I had no idea what I was doing. I'm thinking, Jesus, I know I want my nose a little smaller, but don't let it fall off. And even my ears, everything. God. This one leper. See, so here's my point. All 10 get healed, meaning leprosy stops. Nothing else falls off. The one who comes back with thanksgiving gets made whole. Maybe a creative miracle started in that one. Maybe what was lost starts to grow back. Why? Thankfulness unleashes more. It multiplies more. It awakens the heart of God. If we can become a grateful people, I know we have so much to be grateful for, but if we can actually start to express thanks. You know, I thought through these 4 implements, these devices, an alarm clock, a key, an anchor. In fact, I've got a picture of all 4 of them in case you've forgotten what they are. Here they are, and I go, wow, what do they all have in common? The one thing all 4 have in common. This might be so deep, it might be over you, but I'm going to take a shot. You have to use them. You have to use. If I go over to you, got your backpack and I put an alarm clock, a compass, a key, you thought, thank you. Wow, it's just another weight for your journey. You actually got to use it. You got to set the alarm clock. You've got to actually look at the compass. You've got to throw out the anchor. You've got to actually utilize the key. You've got to activate thanksgiving and make a choice today to say, I choose to be thankful. It's a weapon, it's a gift, it's an alarm, it's a compass, it's an anchor, it's a key, but I've got to do something with it. I've got to choose to do that. And whether you feel asleep, lost, trapped, or drowning, come on, I want you to stand to your feet right now, because we're going to use this from the top of the balcony to the bottom, because, you know, I know what it's like. You know, Jemima and I, like every other couple, we fight on the way to church. That's why we go to different campuses. It just saves our marriage. We used to go to different countries. We were trapped for the last year. And so, you know, and it's wonderful. But, you know, and then you're like, oh, give thanks. And, you know, if I said to you, okay, we're going to have a time of thankfulness now. You know, you got voices in your head. Who do you think you are? You've grown all the way in the car, mumble all the way at lunch, and then in church, holy, 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 you're all thankful. Just mute all the other voices and activate thankfulness. Some people are like, well, in my culture, we don't say that. We show it in other ways. My thankfulness is so deep that no one has seen it for decades. But I'm thankful in my own way, so don't judge me. No one's being judged here, but the Bible says in everything, give thanks. Didn't say think thanks. Feel thanks. Give thanks. Anybody thankful here today? Anybody ready to give God thanks? So here's what I want you to do. Team are going to help us. But why don't you right now, just for your own, whether you lift holy hands, come on, just open your mouth and just start to count your blessings, name them one by one. Whether it's who God has given you, where God has placed you, even in the middle of the storm. Come on, for some of you, let it awaken your praise. Let it awaken your faith. Let it, even if you thank God for who He is.
Hello, thank you so much for watching this video today. I pray this sermon has blessed you, encouraged you, and inspired you. You know, we may never have met, I may not know you, but God knows you. And I want to tell you today, God loves you. That even before you knew about Him, He loved you. And He has a plan and a purpose for your life. You know, so many of us do life on our own, trying to lead our life in a way that finds answers and finds the peace and finds the joy we're looking for, but we come up short. But God knew that you needed rescuing, that you needed saving, that you needed His love. So He sent His Son Jesus to come and pay the price for our mistakes. He lived a perfect life, but knowing we couldn't, He said, I will take their place. So He died and rose again so that His death could pay the penalty for my mistakes and my past, and His life could make a way so that I could have life. I believe that when you believe in what Jesus did and when you invite Him to be Lord of your life, you can experience forgiveness, peace, hope, joy, purpose, and life like you've never known before. It's not about what we've done or who we're not. It's about that we have a God who's good, who can turn things for good, and loves you. He's a father, He's a friend, and you can invite Him into your life today by simply saying this prayer after me. I'm gonna say this prayer, and wherever you are, wherever you're watching around the world, pray this prayer with me. Maybe you once knew God and you walked away. You know what? Maybe He's getting your attention today to say, come back into relationship with me. Maybe you've known religion, but never a real genuine relationship with God. Why don't you say this prayer too? And I believe this can be the beginning of a great new day. Let's pray. Dear God, thank You for loving me and giving Your life for me. I pray You forgive me for my past and You walk with me into my tomorrow. Let me know Your grace, Your forgiveness, Your peace, Your purpose, Your joy, and Your hope into my life. I ask You to lead me and guide me from this day forward. Be Lord of who I am. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm so glad you prayed that prayer today. I believe that as you did, the peace, the grace, and the love of God comes into your life. You know what? The past is real, but it doesn't have to dictate your future. Let the love, the grace, and the Word of God go with you from this day forward, and I believe the best days are ahead for you. If you prayed this prayer, or you want to know more, maybe you're on the journey, why don't you flick us an email so we can send you some material about following Jesus. We can maybe connect you with a local church near you that you can do life with, get good people around you, and we would love to pray with you. I'm so glad you prayed that prayer. I'm so glad you're on the journey of following Jesus. I'm so glad you listened today. God bless.